Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train Podcast Series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and you know riding with me, my homeboy, Mr. Patrick Irvin. And then also riding today is our homegirl, Tam I.E. from the island of I.E., wherever that is. So go look that up. Hey, man, so you know we get it down. Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX Inc. That's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, you already know you can go visit www.pactsinc.org to learn more about the organization, the codes of conduct, the educational pieces that they have, and just all the information that they have for the black community. Hey, remember, go visit our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Patrick, Tammy, and everybody else that's a part of the Freedom Train Network. Remember, our weekly lineup every Monday, you get the Fix Sports Podcast. And this upcoming Monday, of course, you've already heard it, but it's the season premiere, the season two premiere of the Fix Sports Podcast. So tell a friend to tell a friend. Remember, every Wednesday, you get our show right here, the Freedom Train Podcast Series, as well as the live showing of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tobel. Every Thursday, you get Lessons from the Screen with Patrick Irvin. Every Friday, you get the Tea Time Black Women Talk with Tam I.E., Mo Knows, Mia X, and EB. Every Friday, you get the podcast of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tobel on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Every Saturday, you get the On the Shoulders of Giants podcast, which is African history at your fingertips and on the go. And remember, all of our podcasts are available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, as well as our Freedom Train Network YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe to all those. Like our Facebook page. Like us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network, and like us on Twitter, and follow us on Twitter, rather, at Freedom Train Net. And that way you can be cool and have something to talk about when you go to work on Monday. Ain't that right, Pat and Sam?
Yep.
Be somebody in life. Man, it's raining outside. I was trying to go outside with my shirt off and twist my shirt around my head like a helicopter, but it started raining. Ain't that a bit?
It's not raining here.
Man,
no,
those
it's very nice outside.
See, y'all got to rub it in.
God likes
like Florida got the schizophrenic weather.
So. God likes us.
Not for long. You and y'all in North Carolina, not for long. Y'all racist ways gonna catch up with you. So today we got a couple things we want to talk about, so we might as well go ahead and get into it. So today I know we want to talk about the package bombs exploding in Austin, Texas. Want to talk about Dylan Roof's sister bringing guns to the school walkout, which is ironic as hell. The Ricky Smiley show, it was canceled, and it was real funny what happened. Kind of messed up, but funny. Talk about the guy, I think it's a cardinal, who exposed 40 Catholic priests for being undercover gay. And talk about Marielle Franco, the activist who was assassinated in Brazil. But we want to start off. On these Austin package bombings. One of the main things we want to talk about is the people who were being targeted by these were black and brown people, but mostly black people. And I don't think a lot of people really understand that when it comes to these package bombings and these specific things. There's only three that happened, but the people that were mostly affected were black and brown people, but more black people than brown people. So, read your little information real quick, and then we're going to get into it. So three package bombs that exploded in Austin, Texas over 10 days, killing a teenager and a 39-year-old man and critically injuring an elderly woman appear to be connected, police say Monday. Here's what we know so far. Two of the explosions happened within hours of each other Monday, sending police scrambling from one crime scene to the next. The first blast happened on March 2nd. The bombs killed a 39-year-old African-American man on March, killed a 17-year-old African-American male early Monday morning, and severely injured a 75-year-old Hispanic woman midday Monday. A woman hurt on the Monday morning explosion had non-life-threatening injuries, police say. The residents found the packages outside their houses, but none was delivered by the Postal Service or delivery service like UPS or FedEx. Police also have not decided if these are hate crimes, but said that's a possibility because the victim's race. The evidence makes us believe the incidents are related, also Police Chief Brian Manley said so far. So, I mean, what's y'all thoughts about this, about these package bombers and this? But, you know, the people that are being targeted, but also, you know, it's being talked about, but not necessarily, like, making headline news. And we know because black people being killed, but what y'all thoughts about these?
Go ahead, Tan. Give them that word.
It reminds me. I think it was back in
the girl that you once knew.
No. Wasn't it like in the 90s? Was it in the 90s or the late 2000s that they had the what did they call them? Like the mail bomber, the mailbox bomber. Do y'all remember that?
You're talking about the Oklahoma City thing?
He was a guy sending out packages too. I don't think he had a direct target.
About the anthrax guy?
We've had the anthrax epidemic. We had it was a guy who was sending packages when they were bombs. But either way, it's unfortunate. I'm not really sure how this guy is getting folks' addresses. I mean, I guess it's not hard these days. But it's unfortunate. I mean, what can you do? They've got to start scanning packages, or is the guy actually driving up? Are they in the same area?
Well, we don't know who exactly is doing it. So it could be one person. Could be more than one person. It's the way they're saying the packages are being left on specific people's doorsteps, and when they go to open up the packages explode. But it just so happened to be that the victims that were targeted were black and brown people. So,
yeah, he's not. The packages aren't being mailed. They're believing that he's coming and dropping the packages off are coming and dropping the packages off at night. So the packages don't have any postal stamps or anything like that on them. They're just plain packages, boxes sitting on people's porches.
Right. Yeah. So, like the one they were describing about the 17-year-old boy with his mother, the package was out overnight. He got the package, brought it inside, was opening it up. It exploded. It killed him. Injured the mother, and the neighbors are saying how the explosion rocked their house and kind of, you know, other houses within the neighborhood. So it was a pretty significant explosion that is happening. So these not like no child play bombs. These are things that are really, really, really messing people up and really killing people. So to me, when I hear about it, I look at it. I'm always looking at it from a standpoint of the white folk trying to take us out. That's just me. That's what my mind go to. The white folk, just another way that the white folk trying to take us out or something like that, man. But it's like Tammy said, it is unfortunate that these things are happening. But also, for us to keep our antenna up and if it don't look right and don't feel right, then damn it, it ain't right. You know, that's how I'm looking at it.
It's an interesting thing, too, because one of the reports I read said that they believed that the packages were structured to explode when they were moved. So, you know, to that point, you know, you even if you're not going to open the package, you tend to pick a package up and maybe move it around as you're looking at it to look for postage or something like that. So it creates a real bad situation where, you know, I don't know if that report was accurate or not, but it'd be one thing if the package was set to explode when people opened it. It's quite another if it's set to explode just by moving it. Like, that puts it in a whole other realm of dangerous.
Yeah.
It is sad. I do agree with you, Joe. I think that right now, I think it's racially motivated, especially because, you know, it only seems to be hitting black people, brown. You know, I think everybody's black except for the one Hispanic person.
Yeah.
So, you know, but we this is one of those moments where it having your head buried in the sand and living in your bubble could be extremely detrimental to you because you could go outside, grab a package, and not be thinking nothing of it. And just because you don't see the world one way doesn't mean that the world doesn't see you one way. It doesn't mean that the world isn't one
way.
Well,
my thing is, though, as black people in America, knowing the things that happen to us, can we truly afford to live in a bubble? Like, really?
But we don't know the things that are, like, people that live in a bubble, they aren't aware of what's going on in their bubble. Now, can they afford to do it? We would say no. But if you don't know what's going on, then you're quite comfortable living in your bubble until something reaches in and pops it.
But it's like, I mean, and I get that. They will not be exposed to, like, the everyday ills. But, you like, black people, if a black person in this country try to convince me that they know nothing about white people's treatment of us and relations with us, I'm looking at them like they crazy. Like, come on, man. You really can. You are trying not to know. There's no reason you don't know.
Well, what I find interesting is that there isn't any, like, nationwide media coverage of this. Like, this doesn't seem to be, like, a major hot-button issue.
Right.
Even on NPR, you know, they'll talk about, like, you know, Donald Trump's son-in-law, you know, freaking putting on his pants or some shit. But, you know, they give you one line about this, you know, and maybe they've given more, but I've only heard maybe one or two stories in the past few weeks about this situation. That's, I mean, what, three or four people have been killed by these packages so far? And another report I read said that the bombs are getting better. The person is getting better at making them. Whoever it is, they is. I don't know.
But see, to me, that's why outlets like us need to be make sure that we're paying attention to certain types of stories and talking about and bringing light to them so other people can start to be aware of what's going on and talk about it as well, because things that happen to black people don't get that national attention, so more of us couldn't know. But also we need to better use our outlets, because like this, I mean, this give motherfuckers ideas if they ain't already had them, you know. I mean, we talk about it all the time. I'm here in Tallahassee, Florida, you know. We expect some, and it's sad to say, but we expect some crack of shit to happen every now and then. Just being that what we are. Like, yeah, Tallahassee is a city surrounded by racism within racism. So, I mean, we got the, to me, it's more evident for us to get out of our bubble and start to really pay attention to the real world, what's going on. What you think, Tammy?
I'm sorry. I mean, you definitely have to be aware. I mean, overly cautious. I mean, I don't even know how else to put it. You just have to be extremely aware and overly cautious. I mean, you just never know. You just never know. We got a crazy looking letter the other day. It doesn't have a return address. My name is actually written in pen. And it's postmarked from, like, California. And I only know one person in California. And I'm looking at it crazy. You know, you open it and it's something from, like, North Carolina. So you tell me, why is postmarked in
California?
In California, and the contact they're talking about buying my car is in North Carolina. That's crazy. So you know, I didn't even touch it because the anthrax might be in there. I don't know. So, I mean, it's just crazy. Like, you just have to be, you got to know your circle. I'm not a believer in being Like, I'm a friendly person, but I think even as far as everything, you just have to know your peoples. You got to know your surroundings, you know, and don't get too comfortable.
Yeah, you can't get too comfortable. Also, when you're saying know your people, to me, it's also paying attention to your intuition when you're around the people, your people, because I'm always got COINTELPRO in the back of my mind. So it's and you know, well, I just got through watching the movie Salt. So about, you know, a Russian spy who was like a double, triple agent. And we know all these things happen. So we know when people start to talk about liberation and people start to talk about certain things. But even though these mail bombings, in my opinion, may or may not, well, for right now, what we know may or may not have anything to do with black people who were taking the stance. But still, we already know that when you are somebody who speak up and speak out, that makes you even more of a target. So if regular black people are just being targeted just because they're regular black people, people who speak up and speak out have to be even more aware of what's going on. But black people, period, need to be aware of what's going on, because there's a group of people who've come to this country to destroy us, and they're still trying to do that.
Right. Agreed.
So, agreed. But yeah, man, so we, you know, we want to give our thoughts about these mail bombings. So, you know, of course, keep your antenna up. But I kind of want to move on as well, though, because we had several topics, like I said, at the top of the show. So Dylann Roof got a sister, and she just as crazy as her damn brother. And both of them need their ass whooped. Their parents need their ass whooped. Whoever they've been around, they need their ass whooped. Cause, so if you don't know, well, let me just read this to you. This is from the New York Times. Let me read it. A sister of Dylann Roof, the man who massacred 9 black churches in South Carolina in 2015, was arrested on Wednesday for bringing a knife, pepper spray, and marijuana to her school, authorities said. Morgan Roof, 18, was arrested on drugs and weapons charges at her high school, AC Florida, in Columbia, South Carolina, and taken to a detention center in Richland County. Richland County Sheriff Leon Lott said in a statement, Sheriff Lott said that a school resource officer was informed by an administrator that Ms. Roof had the weapons and drugs. Roof had also made a social media
call her Miss Roof?
How yeah, old is she? You know, she's 18. 18-year-old school girl. She needs to be kicked in the
Miss Roof, though? Like,
New York,
I don't mean to interrupt, but I know.
That's
crazy, man.
New York Times, not white folk.
Whatever.
But basically, she made a post on Snapchat. So this is what, at the top it says, this is so disgusting. Then it says, you're walking out for the allowed time of 17 minutes. They're letting you do this. Nothing is going to change if what you think it's going to do. I hope it's a trap and all y'all get shot. We know it's fiction to be nothing but black people walking out anyway. No offense, OFC, but yeah, that's what she said. But it's like me and Pat was talking earlier. She clearly ain't been paying attention to who been walking out of these schools, because white kids been walking out of these schools. So, because in her mind, black people was going to walk out into an ambush and be killed in mass. So, you know, the hell wrong with the Roof family, man?
I don't know, man. This, and it ain't just him. Like, you know, it came out after he did what he did in Charleston. I'm sorry, that his uncle was on some white supremacist type crazy type shit as well. I don't know what's wrong with them. Clearly his sister, this younger sister, because I guess he has an older sister too, and she, you know, we don't know much about her outside of, you know, she was supposed to get married, I think, around the time that he decided he wanted to go crazy. He decided he wanted to go white supremacist and shoot up the people in the school or in the church. But his uncle's on some other shit. His little sister's on some other shit. He was on some other shit. Like, at this point, why isn't that entire family under, and I ain't even talking about under governmental surveillance. Like, black people should be
watching
all of them motherfucking Roof motherfuckers.
Yeah, the FBI need to be up on them.
Like, I don't understand why the, like, she's in a, I'm sorry, bro. No roof family member could go to a school with my kid. Period. You can't. I don't even think I could work in an office place with a roof person working there. Like, one of us has to go.
Well, if they're doing stuff like this, I don't blame you.
Yeah, like somebody, like, and I'm talking about it's on site. You catching one on site. I'm whooping your ass. Go ahead.
I guess what you have to, some of this stuff has to be expected. I mean, we watched 24, right? And on 24, the older brother was the person who wanted to bomb America or some part in America or have a series of bombs go off all over America. The little sister didn't necessarily agree, but once the brother got killed, she felt like she had to take that on her back and, you know, finish out the job. So I don't understand why, like you said, that she hadn't been watched, the whole family. I don't understand, like, why that wasn't a question. I mean, or why they hadn't been paying attention.
Well, to me, it's typical cracker stuff. Like, they're not going to watch them like that because they're not a threat to the white establishment, but they will watch them if they're a threat to the white name. And so now, if things like this keep coming out, then they'll try to kind of, like, watch them. But they're not really going to stop them from killing black people, though.
Yeah, because this shit, like, everything about her Instagram was wrong. Like, everything. Like, you know, they're letting you do this. We talked about that before the show. These schools didn't let, and I'll be honest, I don't agree with the walkout, but at least the kid's doing something. Like, what else can the kids really do? So, and we know they could actually do a lot, but it's a start for a lot of these kids. So I'm not going to attack them for doing what they feel like they could do. But at the same time, you know, they aren't letting these kids do this. A lot of these kids, they were told up front that they were not protected, they could be punished, and a lot of these kids decided to do this anyways. So that's one. Two, I hope it's a trap and y'all get shot. Like, that statement in and of itself shows that her mind
state. She should have been taken down.
Yeah, she's warped. She is warped. She needs to be. You ask me, that makes her a danger to society just by that statement and with her being so young. And you know that her family has a history of white people shit. Like, right there, she's a threat. And then this whole nothing but black people walking out anyway, that's so disconnected.
What? That's bullshit because my kids didn't even know about it. Our kids, excuse me.
That's what we
said. Well, right, but. But the majority of the kids who walked out was white. Right, but that's what Patrick's saying, though. Most of the kids who walked out was white. Most of the kids who had the chance to speak was white. Like, the only kid that was black that anybody really knew about that really walked out was the little one black boy who who walked out by himself and was like, oh, I'm going to just chill out here for 15 minutes. And no, that's the only one anybody know about. But other than that, the majority of the kids were white.
And the only reason people know about him is because he walked out. He was the only one out there, and he put up he made a little Twitter video about being the only person out there. So, you know, but even to that, nothing but black people walking out anyway. That shows a clear disconnection with reality and a clear resentment towards black people. The same type of resentment that caused her brother to go in that church and shoot 9 people after having conversations with them. This chick is dangerous. She's a threat, and she needs to be removed from society.
My thing about the walkouts, why we kind of transition a bit into the walkouts, I don't have a problem with them little white kids walking out. The adults are failing them anyway.
Our school system actually supported it.
Yeah, I mean, but it's still the adults who are failing them, because, hell, why are you supporting them? Hell, get the goddamn laws changed. Like I was looking at in Georgia or something like that. The politicians are walking out in support of. Don't walk out. Y'all the lawmakers. Change the laws.
Yeah, if you're a politician and you're walking out, that's weak as shit.
Fuck you walking out for? Change the laws. But also, on the other hand, if you black, don't you walk out of school. Because when you were dying, when nobody even cared about walking out or doing anything for you. Now, I'm not saying don't demonize little white kids if they want to walk out, but I am saying if you black, you need to learn how to pick your battles, too.
Not like it's not about demonizing the white kids, because you're 100% right. They have every right to walk out. I mean, it's their schools that's getting shot up. The white supremacists, the crazies, the cuckoos, they going into white schools and shooting up little white kids, and that's the only reason we talking about it now. But
right. For
black kids, like I'm 100% with you. You better sit your ass down in school. You better stay in your goddamn classroom, because where's the solidarity when you leave school and have to go into a troubled neighborhood? Where's the solidarity when, you know, your parents are struggling to pay the bills? Because
right.
they can't get decent wages, even though they're both, quote-unquote, college-educated.
What's the solidarity when you know these black schools are underperforming and got horrible resources and horrible people care about them? How come where's the solidarity in that?
Right. And even going into the school itself, you got the little white boy all over the world talking about, we don't want our schools to become a prison. Where's the solidarity?
Yeah, black schools already prison.
Black schools are already prisons. They're already that way. So where is, you know, and then you got, you know, we've talked about this before, you got the conservatives talking about all of these media outlets only care about these grieving mothers because they're white mothers. They don't care anything about the black mothers. And then you got the liberals on the other side talking about, and I talked about this a little bit during the show, Lessons from the Screen, this past week that was on school shootings. Y'all should go check that out. But anyways, you know, you got the liberals on the other side talking about, and we stand with the black community that's been plagued with gun violence for decades. Man, shut the fuck up.
Right. No, you don't. Because y'all ain't been doing that. And that's the thing to me, the disappointment about these school shootings. And one thing that black America need to wake up to is you don't have to join movements just because people put them on TV and they seem like that's what you're supposed to be doing. Like black women joining the women's movement. No. No. Don't do that. Did you, Nigels, because dang, I don't want to jump all the way off topic, but we gotta understand what's going on and how it affects us in the position that we're in with it. And it's not our duty. We're not obligated to anybody to join anyone's cause. I want to just put it like that. Black America don't owe anybody else in this country anything, because who was really there? Like, these people, individuals doing specific things for the black community doesn't account for white people as a whole. It's like it's been plenty of black individuals to stand up for all types of different causes, but that doesn't mean white America feels like they have a need to stand up for black people like black people feel like they have for white people. So Dylan Roof and the whole Roof family, they need to all be locked down. But when it comes to these school walkouts and these shootings, nobody really gave a fuck when black schools have issues and black community have issues. So I think we need to understand how every fight ain't our fight and mind our damn business and get back to building.
Yeah, but I do want to stress this little Roof chick, the baby Roof, whatever. This chick is dangerous. Like,
yeah.
This message, this instant, and the fact that she felt comfortable putting it up is another sign. Like this Morgan Roof chick, she's dangerous.
They keep calling her Miss Roof in this article. I've never seen that before. I've never really seen that from a potential terrorist.
I know, I'm like, Miss, what? Yeah.
Right. And it's scattered through all of the article. Miss Roof, Miss Roof, Miss Roof, Miss Roof. This is a potential terrorist. Y'all talking about Miss Roof?
Now, you ask me, she's already a terrorist.
You ask me,
she's already, like, this message in and of itself is a form of terrorism. You ask me.
Basically, her intentions or her thoughts and her hopes was black people get assassinated in mass.
Yeah, like she clearly, and I saw that they tried to say that it was not a threat. This was, it ain't got to be a threat. But when she says, "I hope it's a trap and y'all get shot," we know it's nothing. We know it's fixing to be nothing but black people walking out anyways. She's clearly communicating that she hopes more black people get shot, as if
right.
the 9 her brother shot weren't enough.
Right.
This chick is a threat. She needs to be checked. We need to check. We need to make sure that this chick don't have access to our community. We need to make sure the whole Roof family don't have access to
shit. It's almost like that whatchamadoodle? That boy, I'm so off base with my talk right now. The wanted signs, they need to be posted in the black community.
Yes, they do. We need our own website called, you know,
hey, do you know this person?
We need a website where we could just put pictures up.
WhiteTerrorist.com.
Something where we could put, and her picture need to be on the main page right now. I'm telling you, mark my words. Everybody listening to me, I'm not talking crazy. Mark my words. This little white chick is a threat, and she's going to be a problem. And
well,
I'm doing my damnedest not to call her a little bitch.
Well, why not?
Because that's disrespectful, Joe. We ain't going to disrespect the little healthy
bitch. Right,
yet.
Yeah, no, nah, I'm straight on that. And since
hey, man, anybody who was a terrorist to our community, she don't get no respect. So,
she needs
you know.
To be watched. And I'm gonna keep, so every time somebody bring her name up, that little girl need to be watched. Like, first off, she got it in her blood. You know, we already know her uncle said he would have did what Dylan did.
That's why they don't get no respect. That's why the whole family don't get no respect.
Nah. And then the older sister was about to marry a military recruiter, so by extension, I can't trust military recruiters. Well, Army recruiter. She was about to marry an Army recruiter. So, you know, like, hey, man. All right. Y'all fuck around. And you know it's going to be a black person somewhere try to make friends with this little girl.
Oh, you already know it. She's not a bad person. Shut up. She's
going to wind up in a goddamn Saw movie with a chair, strapped to a chair with a goddamn device on her head or some shit. I'm just, hey, man.
Yeah. Hey. Forget you,
hey, man.
Stephanie. Fuck you, Stephanie. No, what her name?
Her name Morgan. She got one of them sinister
you,
villain
Morgan
names.
Reed.
One of
fuck
them
you,
Disney
Morgan
movie
Reed.
Villain names. Morgan. I'm sorry for anybody named Morgan, but
hey, Morgan
it
Reed
is a bad
you.
Guy name. I'm just saying. I didn't create that.
Hey, yeah. So no more shine for you, Morgan, with your little soft ass. So, I want to move on, though. Another black media show that had a large following, it don't exist no more as far as my understanding goes. We're talking about the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. And it got canceled from what I was reading, what I seen over some crazy shit. So,
like.
Basically... Ricky, all right, so Ricky Smiley went to the bathroom. And he was like, when he went to the bathroom, and he kind of looked under the stalls and stuff, you know, people just saying if anybody else was in the bathroom. He was like, he didn't see anybody else. He didn't see nobody in there with us, so he thought he was in the bathroom by himself. So he was like, he used the bathroom, and as he was going to turn around and come out, he looked down and he saw a pair of gators out of nowhere. And it was like, well, damn, somebody in here. And so he took a picture of the shoes. I guess the person was in there doodling too. So he took a picture of the shoes. He ended up being a comedian, and they was going to make light of it. So they went back to the air. He didn't really say nobody's name or nothing, but he was like, hey, man. He told the story of what happened. It's some dude with some gators on in there doodling. So the internet took that and ran with it and called the man Doodle Shoes. And somehow Well, the picture that he took ended up on the internet as well. So the people on the internet and the people in the office figured out who the dude was. Well, the people in the office figured out who the dude was. So, and he's supposed to be like a manager or director. So they call him. So his name Doodoo Shoes now. And so what kind of intrigued me, and I'm trying to figure it out, because they were basically reprimanded, and from the audio that I heard, they were reprimanded and fired by the human resources person on air. And I've never heard of a human resource person doing things like that on air. And it seemed like it was a joke, but it seemed like it was real. But when you go Google and look at everything, they're saying that the Ricky Smiley Show is canceled and it's been replaced by some Latin show or something, I think. But it's like, all in all, it's another black outlet that has been lost. But in the manner in which this was lost was kind of crazy. I guess this comes up when being a comedian goes wrong or something like that. I don't know, you know.
People too fucking sensitive, man. Like,
well, that
really,
too.
Really, like, fucking really, like, really. Your face was not attached to the shoes. Like, get the fuck over it. I mean, and I figured, I didn't know the story, but I figured when you said that they got fired over this, it had to be somebody in upper management, and they fucking feel it. Like, your face was not attached to it. Yeah, everybody looking for your damn shoes that day. I mean, who wouldn't be? But that's not the point. Like, I mean, seriously, though, like, nobody knows who you are. You basically, I mean, the people you work with, but it is what it is. Everybody takes a shit. I mean, I laughed one day because one of my coworkers, I went in the bathroom. One of my coworkers, at the time I didn't know who it was. I guess they went in there taking a shit. And then the next thing I heard was like this, you know, like where they had sprayed some air freshener. That shit was so funny to me. So when I looked at the shoes, you know, I'm looking around the office trying to figure out who the hell was courteous enough to spray some air freshener. After they took a shit, like, they were like, they didn't even let the shit get out good. They sprayed and then flushed the toilet, and then I'm assuming they went again. But the shit was funny to me. So I'm looking for the shoes, too. But, I mean, that shit was funny. Like, it's funny. Like, and I even talked to the girl. I was like, man, that shit. I said, I've been looking for your shoes all damn day. I said, because what you did, I was like, we appreciate you. That shit was funny, blah, blah, blah. You know, we had a good laugh, but the point of the matter is, like, get like, really, though?
But
go ahead.
I mean, but it's like, but we're talking about a comedian as well, too. So a comedian doing comedian things. Now, I was just looking at this video where one of the assistants, one of the interns or someone on the show went around the office looking for
His whole fucking shoe. His whole shoe is out.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny stuff. It's hilarious as hell. But it's like, it's crazy the fallout of it.
He laid the fuck out.
Yeah. Doodoo shoes.
Oh, that's funny.
And so, they apologized to the guy on air. They apologized to the guy, but then what I was listening to, like, the HR person got mad because they were continuously making jokes about the things that was going on. But I'm like, it's Ricky Smiley. Like, what are you expecting?
Oh, my God.
And so from that, if all of that is true, the Ricky Smiley Morning Show don't exist no more.
Man. It's on. I guess we would have to come back to it because it's on. It says got kicked off the air part 2, got kicked off the air part 3. So I guess we'll have to listen to it a little bit and see what's what, because this is his actual website that's still
on. Yeah, I'm on the website too, but I know I listened to like a good 20-30 minute clip on YouTube the other day.
Well, from what I've been reading, because from what I was reading something different, and I don't know what's true or what's not, but from what I was reading, the show was already going to be canceled for the ratings, I guess, had been going down, and they wanted to give the you know, I guess they wanted to go into another direction and get on the Hispanic, the growing wave of Hispanic shows and things like that to capitalize.
So they were already going to replace his show with that show, according to what you read.
Right. They were already going to do that. So I don't know if the Doodle Shoes skit sped everything up. I don't know if the Doodle Shoes skit was just purely a skit that, you know, and I don't
but
know.
But that's what I'm saying. It don't seem real, though. It seemed like it was all a joke, because it seemed like even the HR person, when you listen to the audio, seemed like he was even laughing and snickering and things. So it seemed like it was all a joke, and it could have been a way for them to go out with a bang or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, because I've read like 4 or 5 articles about the fact that the show was already going to get canceled. So I'm guessing that maybe it was a way for them to go out with an air or go off with a bang. But I have read things from other media outlets that have claimed that this skit was the reason why the show got canceled. So, you know, I agree with you. It's hard to tell. If that is the reason why, then people are sensitive as shit. If that's not the reason why, and really for me, it doesn't matter if that is or that isn't the reason why. For me, the deal is when black people don't own our own media outlets and we don't own our various other, you know, ways of communicating and things like that, we're subject to be removed whenever they want us to be removed. Like Ricky Smiley, I don't even know if this was we'll get back to that. But my thing is this. Somebody like a Ricky Smiley shouldn't be on a radio station that's not controlled by black people that understand his humor.
Right.
Right, because I don't understand his humor mostly.
So
but that should be funny.
And even if we go, like, all of these black outlets we have that are losing their spot, the one similarity they have amongst all of them is that they're all owned, their brands, their platforms,
folks,
all that are usually owned by white people. And the deal with white people is, look, white people want to seem cool. And that usually means being down with the second largest minority group. And that ain't black people no more. That's Hispanics.
Yeah.
So you're about to start seeing, we've already been seeing, but you're going to continue to see major black outlets being shut down and major Hispanic outlets being boosted up. Now, maybe that's because of money. That's a part of it. It could be a part of them wanting to seem like they're socially and morally right. That's a part of it. It could also be because of just white supremacy and they don't like black people. That's a part of it. You know, like all of these things play a factor. But the one thing that we need to be doing to counter this is instead of whining and complaining and getting up in arms when a black person loses their platform, we need to be developing platforms that they could call to. So, hey, Ricky Smiley, you can join us on
join
the freedom train. You know what I'm talking about?
Hey, man, look at here.
Straight up.
Join us. Tavis Smiley. Not Tavis Smiley, but Michael Bazin. Hey, man. Michael Bazin got
show?
29. Yeah, man, Michael Bazin, that's how D.L. Hughley got his show, because Michael Bazin lost his show.
Was he too raw for him?
I think Michael Bazin was talking about Trayvon Martin, and he got kicked off.
I don't think Michael Bazin is raw though. I could be wrong.
Michael Bazin not raw, but Michael Bazin will talk about social issues. He will break stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why it took me a minute to listen to D.L. Hughley, because I knew D.L. Hughley was the show that replaced Michael Bazin, but now D.L. Hughley is a problem for them because D.L. Hughley talking, you know, so. So we're going to see how long he lasts.
Yeah, I mean, you go down the list, though. Roland Martin lost his show, even though that was on a black network.
But still, it's another black outlet that's lost.
Yeah.
Black show that's lost, black voice.
You know, Ricky Smiley lost his. Michael Bazin lost his. Does Tavis Smiley still have his show? I think
he
lost his too.
No, he on his hiatus from the sexual whatever.
That's right. So all we really got left, what in terms of major players, is what, Steve Harvey and Tom Joyner?
And Al Sharpton.
I don't count Al Sharpton.
Okay, he still got that National Action News Network show.
I don't count Al Sharpton.
So,
But you know, all of these, you know what though, like I said, all of them fucking around. I don't even understand the dynamics. How can you be pro-black talking about black issues on a white-owned network? That don't even make sense to me at this point in time in my life. You know that you're not going to be able to really say and do what you want to say and do. You know you're not.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
As smart as we give them credit for.
I think they believe that they're going to be able to say to take a stand and say what
Look,
they need to say.
Can't no white person convince me that if I come on their network, they're going to allow me to be unapologetically black. No white person can. It's not. They don't have a history of it. And they also can't convince me that if another minority group becomes more popular than black people do, that they won't kick me off of the show and bring in that other net. Like, no, like, you can't convince me of that as a white person.
Now, Hispanics, they are eclipsing blacks in money and numbers and stuff like that. But Hispanics will never be as cool as us.
That's according to us, though. We're black.
I mean, they still draw their cool from us, though.
I can't say that, Joe.
Man, look, when they want to be down, everything that's cool about Hispanic culture, you see, get drawn back to African lineage. Like, I'm not saying that they won't replace us, but what I'm saying is, no other group of people will ever be able to bring what African Americans bring to the table, and that won't be replaced by no other group. Like, white people know that. Like, they understand that. They might like the little salsa and the little whatever, but, you know, we got that certain thing that will never be replaced.
I'm not saying that we can be replaced, and I'm not saying Latin people can do what we can do, but I am also acknowledging that they bring a different flavor. They have their culture, or their numbers, numerically, they passed us up. Economically, they've been passed us up a while ago. You know, we keep bragging about our 1.5. They're at about 2.2 or 2.3. They're almost $1 trillion more in spending power. Like, they have eclipsed us in every sense of the word. That's why nowadays you don't see the black sidekick or the black comedy relief like you would see in the 90s, like you would see in the 80s and the early 2000s. Those roles are being dominated by Hispanics now, even in terms of the Pixar movies. If they wanted to make a cool cultural diversity type cartoon, they would make something for black people. Now they're making those same things for Hispanics. The entire lens that America views its minorities in is through the second largest minority group. And that's not black people anymore. That's Hispanics. That's why all of these issues like immigration and DACA and all these other things are becoming such hot button issues. And so I'm not trying to say that they can replace us. I'm not trying to say that they can do what we do, and I'm not trying to say that we can do what they do. But I am saying, for white people, from my experience, and I'm not speaking for all white people, you got to put out that disclaimer, because people, you know, they attack you otherwise. But from my experience, when white people want to seem down, they tend to piggyback onto the second largest minority group, and that's increasingly becoming Hispanics. And so now we're going to start seeing more of the Hispanic music popping up. Now we're going to start seeing more of the Hispanic languages being integrated into American language, more terms and things like that, more terms of endearment. You're going to start seeing more of that, and that's all I'm saying. That's all, and that's why I'm saying a lot of these black outlets that thought they were safe with these white people, you're about to get replaced by Hispanics. Deal with it.
Well, you know, Claude Anderson talked about that in itself as far as black being replaced, but also factors that go into that as far as numbers, if we just talk about number of black people, factors that go into that, abortions, the number of abortions, and the number of black people that are just slaughtered. and that go missing and things like that. Those drastically affect our numbers as well. So I just want to throw that piece out there.
Oh, no, I agree. I mean, we've been roughly 12 to 14% of the population for the last goddamn, what, 100
and that's by
years
design.
Damn near?
Yeah, and that's by design.
Like, every, you know, like this shit is crazy. Like, for all this talk about black people and all the babies they have, our percentage of the population has not moved. That, to me, is mind-blowing.
Right. So. No, not to beat that situation forever. But, Pat, you put me on this story right here about the dude who exposed the 40 Catholic priest, gay dude. What you got on that?
I read it and was laughing, and I ain't really looked back on it, so I ain't seen no updates.
You got to jump in on the Spanish population.
What?
Say what?
I didn't even get to comment on the Hispanic.
Oh, go folks. Ahead, go ahead, Tam.
Y'all know my other folks is Hispanic.
That's right. You are Puerto Rican.
Let y'all beat it all the way up. I mean,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
Living la vida loca.
I do understand. I just wanted to say I do understand where Joseph comes from in regards to feeling like the culture originates from African descent. I think the culture is combined with a couple different scents, which is European as well, which is why you have.
That's not the cool part, though.
It's not. It's European. I think Hispanics are European, Indian, or Native American. Or it's not even. They don't have to be Native American. They could be natives to whatever land they landed on, and they were already there, shall I say? And then you got the African mixed in it. That's how they vary, you know, in color. To that is, you know, I think Hispanic culture is a melting pot of everything. The difference with them and I believe black culture is that they are like very like strong and dominant in their culture, like more unapologetic than we are.
As far as what?
Just as far as maintaining the culture. I believe that we will conform easier than they do.
In all fairness, they were able to maintain the culture, like the structure, the systems and things that they were into, especially if we talk about from slavery and even now, they had the ability to maintain and the culture to flourish. Ours was more so, hey, this is the culture we're going to give y'all. So
mm-hmm.
That's what I would say with that.
Well, I don't know if we can agree with saying this is the culture we gonna give y'all. So I do agree, the circumstances behind, like our history is different, and that's one thing as black people that we have to remember. Even when we're making these comparisons, there's no other group of people that has a comparison quite like ours, because there really isn't another group of people that has been through the things that we've been through, and not just during slavery, but also for that extended period of time after slavery, and even what we continue to still go through. And that's not to say other people aren't oppressed, because we know black people are oppressed in South America. We know they're experiencing oppression in North Egypt, North Africa, the Middle East, you know, out in Asia, they're experiencing oppression with the black Japanese and the dark-skinned Chinese. We know that. Colorism is real. But you'd be hard-pressed to find a group of people that have the same sort of cultural, historical experiences that we have. So that's always something that we have to take into consideration. All that being said, though, I do agree with her on the level of they do seem to be a lot more, and I'm not part of the culture, so I can't speak from inside, but from the outside looking in, they do seem to be a lot more unapologetically Hispanic. Like I was telling PC,
no, I agree.
Up the road, they have a they have a bank called the Hispanic Community Bank. Like, that's the name of it. None of this shit. It's just Hispanic Community Bank. And I imagine if you had a black power gas.
Well, I mean, to me though, like I'm saying, I agree. But they've had the ability to foster that, like self actualization as a Hispanic person. They've had the ability to do that. Even so, it to me, that's one of the things that I see. That's like you said, that's one of the major differences when you're comparing black people in America versus any other people. Because you see a post, hey, well, these people can come into the black community and do this and do that. Yeah, but if Japanese, Chinese, all these other different groups of people, the Indians, the Arabs, if they went through exactly what we went through, they would operate the same way we operate. And because they didn't, they are more rooted in their culture and in themselves as a people. They see more of themselves as a people, where us, we just on some other shit.
We spend all our time trying to run away from being who we are. We talked about this earlier, Joe. Either motherfuckers running towards being white, are they running towards being African? Nobody is happy with being a black person in America. Nobody wants to be that. They even when they come up with, like, I'm an African enslaved in America. Like, that's still running away from your black American history.
I guess that's why I'm still scratching my head at this Wakanda Forever thing that people are having, because I'm like, I get the sentiment where you're coming from, Wakanda Forever, but let's concentrate on the real things that we have going, like real places. Like, what about, I'm in Tallahassee, Frenchtown Forever, because they gentrifying the shit out of it. How about that? And, but not to get too far.
You know, ain't nobody going to say no damn Frenchtown Forever.
But, see, that's the hypocrisy and the bullshit. Like, we can say Wakanda Forever because it was said in the movie, but you can drive through this black neighborhood who's actually being gentrified, and you won't even acknowledge it. But you will complain when it's gone.
Oh, yeah. Part of me believe that a lot of us hope and allows crazy shit to happen to us in our community so that we can complain about it later. Some of us actually have that sick mentality. I'm not saying all, I'm not even saying a majority, but I do think there are those people out there. They know something is happening and they'll sit back and watch it happen just so they could talk about it.
Because, it's like I said, I get the sentiment of the Wakanda Forever and everything that comes from the Black Panther. I get the sentiment. But to me, it's another thing for us to run away from the real things that are happening to us. And you will never have a Wakanda running away from the real things that's happening in your community.
Hey, man, I'm going to say this every time somebody brings up Wakanda Forever and they're in America. You wouldn't be allowed in Wakanda.
Right. Or your lip tattoo. but anywho,
I didn't mean to draw y'all back. I just...
Nah, it's all good.
I got to play a piece of the side of the fence. I can't say the complete side, but a piece. And I say that because... there's a little difference between my great grandmother and my grandmother, God bless the dead. But my great grandmother was very proud of her culture, but she would also say that she didn't see color. And then, my grandmother, having been a double minority, I think she sided with the one that was most accepted at the time, which was black. So for all intents and purposes, like we grew up black under her. And the only way we knew about the other part of the culture was because, my great grandmother held true to it.
But see, even in that, like Hispanic people, like.
But my great grandmother, she's darker than me.
Right, but let's just be real though. Like, let's just be real. You pick one. You either European, either got European descent, either got African descent, and you may have a little bit of Taino or Arawak in you, but. Like, because I don't know, I'd be confused. Sometimes some of them really looking at like Hispanic and Latino as if it's their real classification, but it was given to you in the 1970s, though.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, the things that are even claimed as culture is still given by Europeans.
Well, the name was given, but the culture itself was there. So
you know what I'm saying. Like the name.
I just wanted to clarify.
Okay, right. Yeah, the name was given, but it, even it's still like the like when we're dealing with in the sense of dealing with white supremacy. Like you speaking Spanish, it's not gonna keep you safe from white supremacy though, and in no other language you're speaking, people see your skin. They see these things. They see these phenotypes and these physical marks and barriers and things and these keys. And it, to me, it's like that's the extent of the conditioning of the diaspora around the world that they've been able to convince a good number of African people that because you speak a different language and because you embrace different cultural cues, that we're not the same. And around the world, we're losing. And understood, African people never really saw themselves as a whole continent. But at the same time, in dealing with white supremacy over time, you thought that we would pick up the sentiment and idea of, hey, man, these white folk don't like none of us, no matter the language we speak. So we might need to do something a little different. I don't know.
I mean, we could have a whole show on that, though. I mean, even in terms of the difference of approach, because we also like to underestimate the sense of confusion that white people created. You know, the Portuguese would come in and say one thing, and then the French would come in and say something different. And then, you know, the Germans will come in and say something different, and the British will come in and say something different, and then they all play against each other. Like, so even when we're talking about European domination of black peoples, you know, that term, there's a lot that's built into that phrase in terms of how they individually interacted with us. While they all might have had the same goals in mind, they all went about it differently, and they weren't all necessarily working in tandem to accomplish those things. So you think about the confusion that has on a separate group of people, especially a group of people whose culture has been set up to be friendly to visitors. Like, you just think about that. Like, so that's where I cut a lot of slack when it comes to black people not having done various things, not having understood or comprehended various things. You know, and then we like to forget about how Europeanized we've become over the years, even in terms of our view of Africa, and our view of ourselves. A lot of the criticism we have of ourselves are criticisms that were given to us by white people. So, you know, the whole dynamic just gets to be
it's deep.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, though. It's deep. It's frustrating when you can see what's going on, though.
No, I feel you on that.
Yeah. But we got to move on because we're going to be in this thing all night. So the Catholic Church, the Vatican, and do that.
Don't be rushing on this show. You're the one with 8 million topics.
So,
hey, man, no. We was on pace, okay?
So anyways, this priest had a gay gigolo that he was seeing, sex person that he was seeing paying for sex on a regular basis. And this guy apparently had clients that were like 40 priests in the Catholic Church were all his clients. And he decided to write a letter to the Vatican exposing all of these priests. And the reason why he said he did it, he said he didn't do it for fame. He didn't do it to destroy them. He said he did it because he wanted to help them to embrace who they really were. So, you know, obviously this has caused even more scandal for the Catholic Church. You know, they still haven't fully gotten over the whole child sex thing, which is still, you know, that's still popping up from time to time with new incidents. But now to have this where one sex worker, if you will, can name out 40 different priests as part of his clientele, that's pretty major. And I don't know how he thought that this was going to help them.
Yeah.
But
Nah, he lying. He was trying to put them on Front Street. A 1,200-page, he ain't writing no letter. This fool wrote a dossier. a 1,200-page dossier. He was trying to out them. He wasn't trying to help nobody. He lying. What's his name? Manny Mangia Capria?
Something like that. I was just like, look, man, I hope nobody tries to help me like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need 30, that kind of help in my life.
34 priests and 6 seminarians. And he's supposed to be a cardinal in the church. So, but he was up there serving up everybody. Then he putting everybody on Front Street. But you know what's funny though? Like, I've been seeing a lot of people get a lot of gay men, the down low men, what they call trades, the gay men who put themselves out in the regular public as if they're straight masculine men, but then, you know, behind closed doors they're having sex with other men. But yeah, he did that. But I've been seeing that happen a lot, whether the people are well known or just regular, extra regular people. But people getting exposed these days, and you know, it's not surprising that this happened in the Catholic Church. It's just kind of funny how it happened, though, in my opinion. But
I thought it was funny too. I won't front. I didn't, you know, my whole thing was like, this is a hella fire way of helping somebody. Like,
that would not help.
And it was a fame grab, in my opinion. Like, you can't convince me that this was anything but a grab at fame.
Yeah, but it's also more exposure to what we already know about the Vatican Church, that, you know, they got a lot of freaky stuff going on with men and boys. Well, you know they're always famous for having sex with little boys, but homosexuality is a part of the Catholic Church, and you know, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and all those are subsets of the Catholic Church and all part of it and things like that. So there's a lot of stuff going on behind closed doors in these realms, and people need to get off the bullshit and stop faking, man. Stop faking. Like, that's been going on for a long time. It ain't new now.
I would love to hear what my great grandmother would have to say. Both of them, my grandmothers, they were all Catholic.
Amen. Amen. Reality.
Peace for these people.
Isn't Catholicism big in the Hispanic community?
It, yes, is, it is very big.
Yes, it is. Those ones who conquered them Catholics. But it's like, I mean, you know. Well, to me, it's the same thing. It's like when the preacher got caught here in Tallahassee. Like, man, you think them folk, some smart people stop messing with, but you think the folk stop messing with that man? Nope. They still
going
to that church.
I'm sure church attendance has continued to increase.
Of course, man. And people ain't even talk about that no more.
I'm actually willing to bet that there's more women in there now hoping that they be the next one.
What?
Oh, man. They
jumping
probably been
the
doing that.
Like I'm Pastor
Simmons. Hey, that song was great, though. That song was great. But, I mean, that was a church that was heavily attended by women in the beginning. And remember, this was the 7th time that he was caught, but the 2nd time it went, like, public. But the 1st time it went viral, though. So.
Yeah, like, this ain't no, like, look, you got a pastor that's at a church that's continuously getting caught sleeping with church members, and the church membership keeps growing, overwhelmingly by women.
Right. That's probably why all these boys in the Catholic church like hanging out with each other all these hours.
That's shit,
man. Hey, man, look. You think they're over there having the guys' night out? They having the guys' night out. They praying and laying hands, all that.
You know what? I can't look at Tallahassee the same, because that's one of the most popular churches in Tallahassee for black people.
Hey.
Like, every time I meet a black person from Tallahassee and they start talking religion, I just side out the shit out of them.
but one of the things, to me, though, one of the things that people need to stop doing with religion is stop acting like religion is or the people who are within these religions, they need to start acting like these people who are within these religions are infallible. They need to stop acting like, well, this person is of God and all these things, and he messed up, he made this mistake, but he's of God. Well, what about the people who you don't seem to be as of God, who don't make these same mistakes?
Right.
Now, you can't keep making an excuse for somebody because they're in a leadership position. Like I remember when growing up, I thought, I always questioned, because it was like, this dude, God anointed this man. And I was always thinking, well, why this man? Well, why did God choose this man? What is great about this man? Then when you really learn about the men, you start asking, is God a bad decision maker or something?
Yo.
Nah.
Hey, man.
Wait.
That's been a question for a while, bro.
I mean, think about it, though. Like, if you're a child and somebody teaches you that God ordains and anoints these people and chooses these people to be spiritual leaders, then as you get older, you learn about all the fucked up things these people then did, and then you're looking at them, and if you're in that mindset, you have to ask something. You got to be looking at God. Like, God, if you're choosing these people, why I'm choosing better people than you are?
But I think that goes to the miseducation of people when it comes to religion, when it comes to using terms like anointing and things like that. Because the Bible also very clearly tells you that the devil has his anointed as well, and that they oftentimes come in the name of God. So, you know, if you aren't taught to discern and distinguish, and a lot of people who claim that they're blessed with the spirit of discernment are not, because they following some of the most assholish and backwards people in the world, and I don't give a damn what nobody say. If you're in a position of leadership, you're held to a higher standard. If you're a pastor
right.
that keep fucking members of the congregation, especially when you're married, and you
no,
fucking
you
married women in your congregation?
But even if you're single, you can't run through your congregation. I'm not going to say you can't have an adult relationship, but you can't run through your congregation.
But if you're single, it's still not acceptable. But it's, in my opinion, it's not as egregious as if you're married. It's
right.
not. But if that's what you're doing, and you still got people talking about everybody is infallible, everybody make mistakes. Yeah, that's true. Everybody does make mistakes. But if you keep making the same one over and over again, when does it stop being a mistake and start being a component of your personality?
I mean, but to me, that just shows how gullible some people are. They really believe that, hey, man, this person, it's okay. It's okay. And it's like these same people in these communities have been harboring sorry-ass people. Anyway,
that's
you know,
they don't
I mean,
really
it's
have
like,
faith. That's what we need to be calling them out and making it clear that if you can stand behind a pastor that's been fucking running through the congregation, you don't really believe in God. You believe in the pastor, and you probably want
right.
to be next.
Right.
I'm saying all of that. I'm saying I don't care who listening to it. If you sitting in the church listening to a man you know is running through the congregation, talk about how God this and helping you with your life and this, that, and the third, you are a shitty individual.
Not shitty.
Yes, I said it. I'm talking to you, not them other people, you.
Because even in this situation with the Vatican, I guarantee you it's so many men and women trying to justify this shit. Well, you know, God puts people in different positions and things like this and this. Nah, man, these people fucking up, man.
Yeah.
These people making bad decisions, and y'all know it. Y'all just trying to justify all this shit. Because, hell, the same things, the same chances and things that they get to these people in the church, let a crackhead come by and do that shit. They'll throw that crackhead away.
Right. Let me or you walk in the church and commit some form of adultery. They'd be ready to kick us out the goddamn church. Look, but the pastor could do it. So if I sleep with the pastor wife, I can't come back to church, but he can sleep with mine and keep teaching you?
He can have sex with little boys. He can have sex with other men.
Seriously doubt God put the pastor in a position to fuck my wife, to teach the pastor something. You're insulting
well,
me
see,
and
that's
God.
That's a whole other conversation in the show. You now you're getting on the predestination and all that other stuff there.
Come on, Joe. All things work out for the good of those who serve the Lord. So how is it going to work out for me that the pastor slipped and slipped his dick inside of my wife, Pat, and he get a raise, and the congregation keep growing. What, like, what Pat, do I get out of that?
Ask the slaves how good that worked out for them.
Well, the slaves, I think the majority of them knew better than to believe that shit. They ain't start believing into all this shit until after they got free Reconstruction and all of that. Weird.
Well, because and even in that, ask black folk after those, like, how has that really worked out for you? Like, it hasn't. Like, religion hasn't been an asset to black people. Maybe the church has. Maybe the black church has. Well, I ain't gonna say maybe the black church has.
Yeah, the
at
black
one
church
point,
as an institution
was,
has
was at one point as an institution an asset, but religion has never been an asset to black people. Let's say that.
We got to have a conversation about that, too, because we have to clarify that statement. But I do feel what you're saying and agree with it. But we don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But, you know, definitely got to say that, you know, I do think, and this is with all my heart, and I know a lot of people are going to be upset about this, but I do think that in a lot of ways we are more ignorant than our ancestors were.
We
and
are.
That is what's really killing us.
And we got access to all this information, and we're more ignorant. I agree.
It don't make no sense.
I mean, we just do stuff just because, and it's because it's tradition, and we don't even think about it and analyze how it helps or hurts us.
The more educated we get, the more, you know, the stupider we seem to get.
Well, you know, that was talked about, like, in the miseducation of the Negro. You know, the black people who are highly educated and institutionalized are the worst ones because they don't know how to think for themselves, and they're always... that always seems to subscribe to white supremacy because it's been something that's been ingrained that is going to help them and it's powerful. So,
what you think, Tammy? She must be on Facebook. Take that as a yes.
I am not on Facebook.
What you think, Tam?
I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking as far as being institutionalized, I mean, we do have to do better about that. We do have to come out with our own set of thinking. And we do have to put things in place so that we're not caught up with everything everybody else has going on and what we have works for us and our kids and our future. Don't all say anything at once. That's what I think.
Well, there it is.
You was done or not?
Oh, yeah, I'm done.
You ain't putting a period in
that. Right. That was a comma, not a period.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's how we're thinking about this stuff, especially when it comes to these leaders in these positions, because, you know, these dudes going to get off. These dudes ain't. We're going to see. Whatever, man, but. We black folk, we got to do a better job of how we exist within religious realms and these things. But the last story we want to talk about is...
You got another one?
Hey, Tammy, look, you better sit back for the ride. Don't you come on this show talking like that. You better sit back for the ride. Okay. So, like, we want to talk about the last thing is Marielle Franco, who is a councilwoman in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, who is also... an opponent of police killings against poor people and drugs and gangs and things. She was a vocal activist, and she was gunned down. She was basically executed, assassinated. And they said the style of execution would make the mafia blush. So her and her driver were her killed, but they say her publicist or her something like that got away. But it's another example of somebody who seems to be a political fighter, somebody who's fighting for the people, who was gunned down and shot and killed. And I just think black people around the world need to be aware of what's going on with other black people who are taking a stance against white supremacy or against oppression in any kind of way, against people of color. Yes, this person was not in America, and you may not feel like you have the resources to help, but at least we should at least be aware and knowing what's going on with our people around the world. This is an unfortunate event, and apparently she was a pretty well-known figure and respected figure because thousands of people have taken to the streets of Rio de Janeiro to mourn her.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But it's like
the amount
of
people.
Yeah, she was martyred, so obviously she was loved by the people. But it's like when I heard about it, I was like, well, damn, this is some messed up stuff. Because she was a part of the Socialism and Liberty Party of Brazil. And it's fucked up how she died and got killed. But it's another example of another woman who is brave enough to take a stand, but also willing to put her life on the line. Sometimes that makes you look at these men sideways who are afraid to take stands. Like, I was having a conversation with a friend, and we was talking about some of these elders and these pastors right here in these communities that we work in who are afraid to take stands. But then we read stories about this, like Marielle, who is literally dying for the freedom and the justice of the people. And we need more people in the spirit of her who are willing to put stuff on the line for our people. Because to me, I think our freedom is that important. Just like the situation we had with a friend of ours who was abused and brutalized by police in Alabama on Valentine's Day. We just kind of find out about it. So reading about this story, I thought about that and how in a blink of an eye all things could change for people within the community, and how even going back to the movie, The Spook That Sat Behind the Door, how organization is very, very, very key and very important, because we don't know what type of organization that she had or the groups that she was part of had. And so if she's gone, what's going to happen next if she was a leader like that? Now, all of those thoughts go through my mind. But it's also, you know, another thing of intimidation and all these things, and we have to really understand what's going on so we can save ourselves. Because, I mean, it's on us, and they're going to keep trying to kill us. You can't try to take people out, but we got to take these stances, man. And it's unfortunate that this happened, but it is another reminder of what we're going up against as well, in my opinion.
I mean, I think it's definitely good to be knowledgeable about the things that are going on around the world. I also think that we need to understand as Americans that, even, you know, we have so many privileges that we take for granted. You know, it gets real, like, over there in those other countries, especially when it comes to colorism. You know, she was a darker I want to say Latina, but I don't feel like I could classify her as that because Brazilians, they're kind of like Portuguese and Hispanic and all of that. So anyway, but, you know, that whole colorism, I think that you have to be aware that when you take a stance for something, there can be consequences, and all of them aren't good. And I think a lot of the times, even when I see these YouTube videos and how people just pop off at the mouth, I'm like, y'all just do this stuff like somebody not going to knock on your door tomorrow, you know? And you never know. I mean, if you're saying that she was executed, you know, that would make the mafia blush. I mean, that's serious, you know, like, and people need to pay attention. Everybody feel like they got a voice, and everybody feels like, they can rap at the mouth, but they don't understand that there's consequences behind real talk. And you even need to have the balls to take the consequences and deal with it or shut the fuck up.
Well, I don't know if I told it to me personally, because us here in America, we do have a little more freedom to talk shit. And so I think if we got that ability, we do need to be talking. We do need to be vocal. We do need to be saying what's going on. Some people are all just talk. They do need to shut the hell up.
Well, those are the ones that I'm talking about shutting the hell up, because if somebody show up at your doorstep and you all, you know, you got to understand what the potential consequence is behind all that talk game. And I feel like people rattle off at the mouth, especially on social media, because they can stand behind something.
Well, but also, you know, on the other hand, that we can't be silenced. Like, somebody got to be Because we have it. Somebody got to be talking. Somebody got to be saying something. Somebody got to be pushing the status quo.
No,
somebody
I'm not saying be silenced. What I'm saying is there are a lot of punks behind the screen.
I mean, well, let them be punks, but, you know, let them be punks, but, you know, they just need to understand that this real out here. But if you a punk, then you pick the wrong thing to be a part of. But
well, the danger behind, for me, the danger with punks having a platform is that
they get other people fucked up.
Right. They get other people caught up. You know, they do stupid shit, silly shit, you know, stuff like that. And other people have to suffer the consequences of their actions. And so for me, like, that's the big deal with having punks behind the mic. And also, punks don't tend to think things through the way somebody that's genuinely about that life would. Like, somebody that's full of shit will just say some shit because they full of shit, not realizing that somebody else that ain't full of shit but might not necessarily be thinking on that level will take what they said and go do the shit. But, I mean, in terms of the girl, or the woman, I'm sorry, it is sad. You're 100% right. We do need to be aware of stuff like that. It's definitely disturbing that she was executed that style, that way. You know, and we need to be aware of these things. Now, you know, I do think women tend to, and that's one part of our history. Like, one of the things I really wish we would understand, and this is part of the European indoctrination of black people in America, we tend to think that only the men should fight and only the men should this. And Joe, you know better because you do the On the Shoulders of Giants.
Man, black women been kicking ass from the beginning.
Right. Right. We tend to want to view our black women the same way white men want to view white women. And it's not the same. Like, black women have been on the front lines. They've been the generals. They've been doing this. They've been doing that.
They've been leading armies in the battles for thousands of years.
So we got to get out of this mind state that black men do need to protect black women. Definitely. But the black woman is not this helpless creature that we view her as, because the black woman is also there to defend black men. We got stories of queens riding in the battle with their kings. We got stories of kings having, you want to talk about Wakanda, the Dahomey Warriors, a group of special black women special forces designed to protect the queen or the king. Like, we have those stories, and we know throughout our history, our women are vicious. They're savage. They're ruthless. They can be strong. They can kill people. They can go to war. We have that history. Our women have that strength. And in a lot of regards, we deny that. In a lot of regards, we ignore that. We don't want to accept that because we've accepted this idea of patriarchy that, you know, isn't really agreeable to the women that we have as counterparts. Black women will beat your motherfucking ass.
Well, to me, but see, even like taking a step back, like, when I think about punks running their mouth, I think of, especially nowadays, they gonna get themselves to, and I hear what y'all are saying, so I'm not trying to dismiss what y'all are saying, but I do think nowadays, though, because things can be narrowed down, they'll get themselves in a lot more trouble as individuals than they would, but they can't cause, and I do get what y'all saying, they can't cause trouble for other people, but you know, being able to, but to me, that's why it all goes back to organization, being organized and all those things there. But also bringing it up to the point about the women, you are 100% right about the indoctrination, because the countless stories that I've come across just myself of black women who don't take shit from nobody and who kick ass, like you say, they like the warriors and the female warriors and the Black Panther were loosely based off the Dahomey Warriors. And then I heard they're supposed to be trying to make some, I guess they're supposed to be making some other movie that's loosely based off the Dahomey Warriors or whatever, but black women aren't weak. They're there are both sexes have a place, but black women aren't weak. Mm-hmm. And like in the video I was looking at with Dr. John Henry Clark, a culture who looked at men and women equally as gods don't have to work to look at women as equals, because you see it within the gods. Like, look at European culture and things. That's why they operate the way they operate. That's why they're so savage. Like, from the beginning, looking at Kronos and Zeus and them, like, savagery from the beginning. Like, their culture. So, I don't want people to be discouraged about taking a stand against injustices.
No, I
but
agree
I do.
With that.
But people also do need to understand that there are consequences. But I don't want people to be afraid, because especially here in America, that we do have the ability to speak out and other people don't. I think that's part of our. I'm not gonna put it on everybody, but for some people who choose to take it, that's part of the responsibility of some of the things that you take. But we have to. To me, we have to just be able to look at things the way they are and understand what we can do and make sure that we're continuously doing something about it and not let anything intimidate us or stray us off the path of making sure that we get to where we need to get or helping our people. Because once we do that, we further lost. And we have to be able to take stances at some point, whether we believe we can win or not. But also, you know, being able to just look at history, we should understand that you don't have to have the latest technology or the hugest army to win. But even the minuscule things that you're supposed to have, I do think that we don't have right now. Those are things that we need to work on building up for ourselves. So, but, you know. Well, so rest in peace, Marielle Franco. Definitely got some folk in America who riding for you. I'm sad that we didn't know about her before this. I'm mad that I ain't run across her. Some more of her information before this, but unfortunately, this is how we found out about her. May she rest in peace, and hopefully others pick up the mantle across the world and continue to fight for our freedom and our liberation and justice and things, because we can't be intimidated, and we just can't be intimidated. We can't have ideas that every time we take a stand, somebody's going to fall out. I mean, we like you say, there are rewards and consequences when it comes to everything you do in life, and especially taking a stance against white supremacy. So we need to understand that, and just be mindful and accountable. So, you know, any parting shots y'all want to give out before we get up off this thing?
Power to the people.
Power to the people. What about you, Tammy Amy? Tell them about your show. Tell them about your show, Tammy.
Facebook.
Tammy. Get off Facebook. She got a BlackBerry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was not on Facebook. I was smiling and I was talking and I was on mute. I apologize.
That's your BlackBerry. I blame your phone.
You know what? I'm going to tell you about that, though. Like, I took BlackBerry into the store today, and, like, I had two people so stumped, so intrigued, so excited.
They were amazed BlackBerry still existed.
That's not the point. That's not the point. They was like, it's dope, though, and they were young. Don't be a hater all your life. Don't be a hater all your life.
They were amazed BlackBerry still existed.
You and the three other people around the world that use BlackBerry.
Every time people see it, they get excited.
Because they're like, oh, my God, I remember when I had BlackBerry. It's like when you come across a cartoon from your childhood.
You know what? No.
It's like when you see a daddy long leg spider, huh? Ooh, I remember we used to pull the legs off of them.
You ain't shit, man. You ain't shit. I just want you to know.
Hey, man, but tell them about your show, man.
I just want you to know. Tea Time, Black Women Talk. Is a show we will discuss topics and issues shared amongst our sisters, our community, and our nation. We feel like we are the creators and nurturers by default. We just talked about that. Through this show, we hope to breathe life into the spirit of our fellow sister and man, whoever may choose to come to the table. We've got lots in store. So we ask that you pick your flavor tea, grab your honey, sugar, lemon, or drink it black. We've got Mia X, EB, Mo the Oracle, and me, myself, TMIE, bringing the steam. Ah! Anyways, man, we're having a good time. We're having a good time. Launch was this week, last Friday. We're going to launch show number two called Why She's Always Hating, basically where we're trying to build a sisterhood and figure out why, you know, sisters are always hating on each other. I'm not going to say always, but you tend to hear a lot of black females say, well, I don't hang with a lot of women, you know, because they bring drama and this, that, and the third. So I don't know that I felt like that, you know, because if you got your shit together, your girl should have your shit together. So sometimes you got to look at you. But anyways, we have a good time. Every time I listen back to our shows, I just laugh, I smile, I'm encouraged. I think it's funny. There's some serious moments.
We just need them episodes.
That's what I'm telling you. They dropping.
I'm
kind of
upset you read that scripted thing out. Like, I thought, like, you was going to come off the cusp full of excitement and all of that.
No, I didn't. I was like, trying to be, you know.
You spent a lot of time reading, and I was like, oh, she giving us the old corporate inside this motherfucker.
Right, of course. Of course I got to be politically correct first, and then I'm going to give you the raw.
We live, tea time, in your house, fresh out the microwave.
Right, Friday morning at 10 a.m. My favorite tea is the orange spice. You add a little black tea to make it extra strong, and then you sweeten it with a little brown sugar.
She shop at Whole Foods.
Man, whatever.
Ain't
brown
no
sugar
and Winn Dixie or Piggly Wiggly.
It is.
Orange spice and Piggly Wiggly.
Man, it's orange spice everywhere, bro.
Some people listening to this are like, "What the hell is Piggly Wiggly? It's a grocery store."
Some people live like
it's a white
spice.
They sell chicken heart and chicken feet and chicken gizzards and Piggly Wiggly. They ain't got no orange spice, I can tell you that.
Man, whatever. Get you some.
I'm wondering what orange spice is.
I'm going to make you some. I got some. You're not going
to
drink it, though.
I don't like to.
Because
I'm not. Never mind. That would be fucked up.
You know what?
Hey, man, you know how it is. I'm Joseph Ward, Patrick Irvin, that's Tam I.E., and we keep it down, we stay down, and we love what we do. Support black media, because if you don't, they'll be complaining about how these white folk talk to us. All right? Catch y'all next time. Two things in the air, like you just don't care. Peace.
Oh,